My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to our PAPL on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With over 40 years of experience in the financial industry, Mike provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello and welcome to Retirement Talk. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, you know, it reduced personal income taxes for many Americans, but it is slated to expire on December 31st of next year. That's 2025. And if Congress does not act, taxes could rise for many households. And while we don't know and we cannot predict the future, Congress would have three choices. They could choose to extend the legislation just as it is. They could make changes to it, or they could allow it to expire. But without an extension or other changes, this means that income taxes will likely go up for many of us. And to add another wrinkle to the situation, the federal exemption for gift and estate taxes will be cut nearly in half if Congress chooses not to act. And during today's show, we're going to discuss the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, look at its importance to us today, and what the possible implications would be if it does expire, and ask the question, how might that impact our financial strategies? Before we get into the topic for today, I want to welcome in my co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, I'm glad to say that our relationship here with Retirement Talk, there's no expiration date on the horizon for that. So thank you for being with us today, Tony.
Oh, definitely not. There's no expiration date. As long as my voice holds out, Mike, I'm going to be here. We're going to do the show every week as long as my voice holds out. And as long as you're up for it, that's for sure. I love doing the show with you each week. And what we love, and I know what you especially love about it, is hearing from our listeners and talking to people, whether it's your clients or people you run into or that call your office who have listened to the show, and they give you feedback on the show, tell you what they like, ask you questions about what we've talked about. I think that's awesome. And I'm not going anywhere, but unfortunately, it sounds like the tax cuts are going somewhere or might be. And I'm sure that has a lot of our listeners out there worried about what it could mean for their own financial strategies and retirements, correct?
Absolutely, Tony. We do get those questions, and we have been encouraging our listeners over the years, you know, to keep in mind how changes in tax policy here in the United States can impact their retirement assets. You know, it's not how much we make, it's how much we get to keep, and taxes play a big role in that, obviously. And so we think it's appropriate we take some time here and review what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is, and have it on our radar and be prepared for possible changes that can come. We're going to begin by looking at an article by Investopedia. The title appropriately is, What is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act? And this article explains the legislation and what it has meant for many Americans since it was enacted. At the very basic level, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, you know, it was a massive overhaul of the federal tax code, and it took place in 17, and it took effect in 2018. And at the time, it was the largest piece of tax reform that we had seen here in the United States in three decades. And part of that created a flat tax for corporations of 21%. But that part of this legislation was made permanent. So the corporate tax rate change was made permanent. And the issue is that the numerous tax cuts for individuals were temporary. Thus, we need to keep an eye on what Congress chooses to do. How are they going to handle the legislation's potential expiration, which again is slated for the end of 2025. So we're approaching almost a year now in that window of when these tax reductions from the 2017 Act might expire.
Well, I think I remember the tax cuts, what they were for individuals or the tax levels, but give us a recap.
Yeah, it's a good place for us to head here, Tony. The legislation, as we said, was very thorough, and it did change numerous tax rates. The top tax rate was dropped from 39.6 to 37%. The 33% bracket went to 32%, and the 28% bracket was reduced to 24%. So just right there, the 28 to 24, that was a 4% change in that tax rate. Meanwhile, the 25% tax bracket was reduced to 22%. That's a 3% drop. The 15% was cut down to 12%, another 3% drop. The 10% bracket at the time, the lowest, it was not changed. And the 35% bracket was also left untouched. So a lot of numbers there, a lot of brackets, but it did reduce the percentage of tax in the wallets that were being paid by most Americans. So it was well received by most Americans. And again, the issue here is that those reductions are temporary, according to this legislation, and will revert back to the pre-legislation rates if Congress doesn't do anything.
Right. And so that means if you're in one of those brackets, your taxes will probably go up at the end of 2025, unless Congress takes additional measures, somehow keeps that or extends it. Is that right?
Yeah, that is, Tony. That boils it down. You know, Congress either has to extend the act as it is or pass similar legislation to address this. And otherwise, these brackets are going to automatically go up when the act expires. And again, it's not here at the end of 2024. It's slated for the end of 2025. And there's more to it than just, you know, the changes in the tax brackets. And one of those other changes was an increase in a standard deduction. You know, this year, the standard deduction is $14,600 for individuals, $29,200 for married couples. And the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, it also eliminated the personal exemption through the end of the legislation, which again is 2025. So there were changes in addition to just the brackets or the rate brackets being changed.
Sure. But what exactly is the personal exemption? Explain that.
Well, the personal exemption at the time was $4,150, and that was available to every taxpayer. And when that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act legislation eliminated that particular deduction. But it made up for losing that deduction with some of the increase in the standard deduction.
So I find this interesting. I'm glad you explained that. I appreciate that. And I'm probably stating the obvious here, but if any of our listeners out there are concerned about what the expiration of this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act could mean for them, I think the first step should be to reach out to someone like yourself, right, Mike? A financial services professional. That's got to be the first step. Also, tell us how the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate fits into all this. Does the you had alluded to that it affects a lot. Does it affect the Affordable Care Act?
Sure. When the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, you know, it included tax penalties for people who neglected to buy health insurance. But the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 eliminated that requirement. Okay, so again, not a bracket change or tax rate change, but another change nonetheless. You know, the legislation also increased the child tax credit to $2,000, and it created a $500 credit for non-child dependents. Now, both changes are going to vanish if this legislation is allowed to expire at the end of next year. And then there's also, you know, some concerns about what happens on the estate tax side of the equations. You know, the legislation increased the estate tax exemption, and this year it's at $13.61 million. And like every other part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, that will expire as well on 12/31 of 25. And one of the reasons I think it's particularly important to, you know, pay attention to 2% here and 3% there is that these things add up. You know, we're coming off a couple of years where we've had just historically high rates of inflation that have eaten into our spendable dollars as earners and then as retirees. And then if we add another 2% here or another 3% there, and if we eliminate some of the estate tax exemptions, you know, this all plays into us having fewer dollars to spend for ourselves or fewer dollars to pass on. And we need to look for ways in our retirement strategies, in ways within our legacy distribution plans, our estate plans, to protect ourselves as the government wants maybe to take a few more dollars by allowing potentially the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act to expire.
Right. So what about the maximum of estate amount of an estate? What's that all about? The maximum?
Well, okay. All right. Good question there, Tony. It's the maximum amount of an estate that you can transfer to a beneficiary. That's what the estate tax exemption, you know, what those numbers pertain to. As I'm saying, you know, that amount of your estate you can transfer to a beneficiary before the estate tax is triggered. That's the amount that's exempt from the estate tax. And so we'll put some numbers with it. If you have an estate that's worth, let's say, $14 million, because the exemption's at $13.61 million, the beneficiary would only be required to pay estate taxes on about $390,000 of it. So, you know, the amount of the estate tax exemption, you know, is critical. And that number, you know, back in the Bush administration was significantly lower. It's been increased, and we just don't know what that might roll back to if this legislation is allowed to expire at the end of next year. So not only does it have an impact on our current income through the changes in the tax brackets, it also could have a significant impact on the distribution of our wealth to our heirs.
Sure. Well, let's imagine a hypothetical situation here, Mike, where the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is allowed to expire untouched. What happens then?
Well, rates will return to what they were before the legislation was signed into law. And we're looking at almost $5.5 million or almost $7 million when adjusted for inflation. So that same $14 million estate, as an example, instead of about $390,000 being subject to the tax, almost half of the $14 million would be subject to the tax. So that's a significant estate, obviously, at $14 million. But we all have to monitor closely, you know, how Congress handles this legislation. And we, we're only about a year out from its possible expiration. And once Congress has made its final decision, whatever it might be, we need to be meeting with our financial team, our estate attorney, our elder care attorney, our CPA, our financial service professional, who you work with on our investment accounts. And we've really got to make sure that if necessary, we update things in light of what these new estate tax exemption levels might be. You know, one of the things that we encourage our clients and listeners to do is work and create, we call it here at Compass Retirement Advisors, a legacy distribution plan. How are you going to transfer these assets to the kids or grandkids? And you want to make sure that you're aware of what Congress is doing with legislation and how that would impact that. I want to continue our discussion today about taxes by looking at some strategies on retirement withdrawals. The tax implications for retirement withdrawals, that's one of the biggest areas of conversation with my clients. There's a U.S. News and World Report article titled, How to Pay Less Tax on Retirement Account Withdrawals. Some good insights there that we're going to share in the time we have remaining today. And we'll pick it up again next week and provide some more details here. But the first piece of our strategy should be to ensure that we avoid early withdrawal penalties. If you begin taking money out of a traditional 401k prior to reaching age 59 and a half, you could be looking at a 10% early withdrawal penalty on top of the tax. That essentially means you're giving a chunk of money to Uncle Sam by way of the additional 10% penalty. However, you may be able to begin penalty-free 401k withdrawals when you turn 55 if you leave the job where you have the 401k account. Okay, that account has to be directly linked to the employer 401k. So we call that the rule of 55. And in addition, it might be possible to avoid the IRA early withdrawal penalty if you utilize those funds for approved expenses. And there's a whole list of those. Some of those could be medical bills, college costs, maybe buying your home for the first time. I actually had this come up in conversations this week. An individual had become disabled, had left their employment. We're not 59 and a half yet, age-wise. And the question was, can I take money out of the account and avoid the 10% penalty? And the answer on that IRA is yes, because they qualified for the disability exemption there on the 10% penalty. So, again, understanding how various rules apply to different life situations can help keep more of the money, in your pocket and not going to the IRS.
Well, how do required minimum distributions or RMDs fit into all of this, Mike?
An important question, really a good one. As many of our listeners right now know, you're required to withdraw money from traditional 401ks or an IRA once you hit your 73rd birthday. And the penalty for not taking an RMD when it's required is 25% of the total that you should have taken out. And don't forget that that penalty is an addition to the income tax that's also required on that withdrawal. Fortunately, if you spot the error and you promptly correct it, the penalty may drop to as low as 10%. And if you're still working after you turn 73, if you don't own 5% or more of the company that employs you, you can even continue delaying that 401k withdrawal from your company 401k plan until you officially retire. So don't just assume that at 73 you have to. If you're still employed and you don't own 5% of the company, you can continue to defer that. But be aware, that does not apply to individual retirement accounts or IRAs, balances that are outside of the 401k. And a note, the RMD age is going to go up again. It went from 70.5 to the current 73. And on the first day of 2033, if you are not already required to make distributions, the age will be 75. So that RMD age will rise to age 75 on the first day of 2033 for anyone who was not yet required to start that distribution, Tony.
Interesting. I mean, an older RMD age, even if the change is a ways in the future, that's another factor that a lot of people listening right now will want to talk about with their financial services professional. A lot of changes have happened over the last 5 years with RMD ages and things like that. A lot of the laws surrounding retirement accounts, Social Security, these are all reasons to work with somebody like yourself, Mike. So we're almost out of time for today's show. Why don't you let our listeners know before we go how they can get a hold of you?
Well, the best thing to do there is pick up the telephone, give me a call, 812-787-0809. You know, the financial world, the tax world, it's more complicated each time Congress chooses to do something. And you want to make sure that you have a plan in place that allows you to keep more of your money for your needs, for your surviving spouse's needs. And obviously, we don't want Uncle Sam to be a primary beneficiary of what we've worked 30, 40 years to accumulate. So I hope you'll give me a call this week at 812-787-0809. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. And we invite you to join us again next week. We're going to pick up with a little more information on RMDs and look at some other information that's important as you work to, you know, put a good strategy in place for your retirement so that you can enjoy all those things that you've looked forward to. Hope you'll join us again next week. Again, my number is 812-787-0809.
All right, that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, the Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber is a licensed insurance professional. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary in opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained herein is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information. Annuities are insurance products and are subject to state insurance laws and regulations. Annuities are designed to be long-term investments and may not be suitable for all investors. Annuity guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the insurance company. Annuities can involve charges such as administrative fees, annual contract fees, rider fees, mortality and risk expense charges, and surrender charges. Early withdrawal withdrawals may be subject to surrender charges and can impact annuity cash values and death benefits. Withdrawing more than the guaranteed annual withdrawal amount on an annuity with an income rider can reduce the future guaranteed annual withdrawal amounts. Taxes are payable upon withdrawal of funds. An additional 10% IRS penalty may apply to withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half. Annuities are not guaranteed by FDIC or any other governmental agency and are not deposits or other obligations of or guaranteed or endorsed by any bank or savings association. When considering replacing or transferring out of an annuity, it's important to understand what costs may be incurred, such as surrender charges and the loss of death, tax consequences, or income benefits.